across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, as you know, it's Friday the 13th. We're going to attempt to track down Australia's unluckiest person. Mick unveils his newly discovered psychic powers. We've got a deeply unpleasant story from the racing world. And on Radio Gladiators, get out your musical instruments as we once again challenge you to play us a tune down the line. Here's a clue. Today you'll need your flared pants. We've got Foolish Behaviour, the Fumios, and joining us live to rake through the week that was, it's one of our favourites, comedian Steve Bedwell. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that contains one-third of your daily fibre needs, Martin Malloy.
S.A.
This is Martin Malloy for Friday, people. Welcome aboard. It's Friday the 13th. We're on our extra special guard today. And who are the participants? Well, myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who loves the nightlife, a man who loves to boogie, a man who, after his appearance at the MCG next March, will simply be known as the fourth tenor, Mick Malloy.
They've said I can join, but I've got to shed a few pounds.
Have you really?
Yeah, I'm not in good condition right now, Tony. Failed the pinch test.
You don't want to miss the weight for a tenner.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm dropping it rapidly.
Now, Friday the 13th, you know the great thing about it? It gives us a really good out when something goes wrong on the show. Not that that would happen.
Has it ever?
But if it were, you know, it's beyond our control.
Absolutely.
But tell you what, people would be on extra alert today.
Well, some more than others.
Yeah, who do you reckon would be on?
Anyone who's got a black cat?
Yeah. Anyone in a ladder shop?
A ladder shop or a mirror shop?
Mirror shop. Now, there's an idea.
Oh, they'd be packing.
They'd be walking around on tippy toes. Pass us over the phone.
Oh, what are you up to?
We're going to call one of these joints and been through the yellow pages. What do you reckon about these people? Masterpiece mirrors.
Lovely.
They're not just the ordinary ones.
Oh, no, sorry. We're going top shelf.
Masterpiece. Let's see what they've got to say.
Good afternoon, Masterpiece Mirrors.
Hello, who are we speaking to?
Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Is everything okay down there at Masterpiece?
Yes, it is, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because it's Friday the 13th, you realise?
Yes, I do.
Nobody's broken anything?
Not as far as I know, no.
Hurrah! Phew, how many more hours to go now? You'd be just about closed, wouldn't you?
About 10 minutes.
No.
You'd be counting down those minutes, I reckon. Did the boss get you into a room this morning and say, I want everyone on their best behaviour?
Oh, yes.
What's the boss like?
I can't say anything.
Ah, he's standing right beside you, is he?
Almost.
Yeah, well, give him a mouthful for me.
Of course, if he ever said something to you like, you're going to have to take a long, hard look at yourself, you wouldn't have far to go, would you?
No.
Is that what you do if it's a quiet day? Do you spend a couple of hours sitting there looking at yourself in the mirror going, oh, yeah. Check me out?
All the time.
What about customers? Do they do that a lot?
We don't have any, actually.
You don't have any customers?
No, we don't sell to the public.
You've smashed a mirror somewhere along the line, haven't you? If that's the case, that's a bit of bad luck. What makes your mirrors masterpieces?
I'm not really sure.
Because, you know, it might be, for all pretense, a masterpiece of a mirror. But, you know, if some ugly bugger like Tone went and had a look at it, all of a sudden I'm not buying its masterpiece quality.
Do you have any of those funhouse mirrors? You know, the ones that make you look real silly?
No, we don't.
You know, the ones that will make your head look really tiny and then a really skinny neck and then, whoop, out, there's my big bottom.
No, we don't have any of those.
You don't have any that make you look like Fatty Vorton when you have a look at yourself?
No.
I suppose you'd have no need in your shop for those security mirrors you find at 7-Eleven just so you can keep your eye on everything.
No, we don't.
Hey, Michelle, what's new in mirrors? Are they getting better? Are they getting clearer? Are we looking forward to a clearer picture in the mirror in the next century?
Definitely.
Yeah, what are you doing to improve them?
I'm not really sure. We just put them together and send them out.
And that's the masterpiece way, is it?
Yes.
Anyone ever complained about a mirror? Anyone ever brought a mirror back and said, this one's a dud?
Yes.
I've been looking at it for hours, can't see anything.
No, not really.
Have to send someone out to get it serviced. Okay, so how's the boss doing? Is he there?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to put him on briefly?
Hang on a second. I'll see if I'll come to the phone.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
G'day.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. What's your name?
Sam.
Hey, Michelle wasn't able to tell us, you know, what makes a masterpiece mirror different from the rest. What's your view on that, sir?
It's just the best mirror around.
Yeah, am I going to get a better picture when I look at a masterpiece? Am I going to look in a mirror and go, hang on, that's Luke Perry?
It's you become a real masterpiece.
Yeah, is that right? Who do you look like when you look in the mirror?
Casper, the friendly ghost.
Oh, I think you should have that mirror seen too, sir.
For sure.
It's a spooky mirror. Okay, well, can you put Michelle back on?
No problem.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle. That bloke's all right. Nutter. Reckons he looks like Casper, the friendly ghost. How does it feel working for Casper?
It's pretty hard to see.
Well, that's handy in a mirror shop, isn't it? Okay, well, thanks for talking to us today, Michelle.
That's okay.
Don't walk under any ladders.
I won't.
Stay clear of black cats.
Okay.
Don't buy any Tass Lotto tickets.
No, I won't.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Small town, that's John Mellencamp here at Martin Molloy. And, Mickey, what's happened to you? Are you with us today?
Mickey,
the program, remember?
Sorry, Tone.
Martin Molloy.
Jeez, what was
five
I?
5 till 7 weekdays.
That's the one. Oh, what was I up to? Oh, I was just daydreaming again, I think.
Well, what's on your mind?
Well, sorry, you just caught me unawares. I was just having to think about this jockey. Have you heard about him? Simon Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
He's in trouble. In fact, he's been suspended because he's overweight. And, well, I was just trying to imagine what an overweight jockey would look like. Would he have a little pot belly? You ever seen that, Tone? Jockey with a pot belly?
Nah.
That'd be pretty funny, I reckon. Imagine seeing that. A jockey who can't do up the top button on his duds. And when he turns around, he's showing you about 2 inches of bum crack. That wouldn't be a good look, would it?
Nah.
Not for a jockey.
Nah.
Especially not in a race. Imagine being the jockey behind him. You'd get sick of looking at that over 2,000 metres, wouldn't you? You'd have to say something. Hey, buddy, pull your pants up. You're frightening the horse. When they turn for home, that's what you'd be taken to with a whip. At the end of the race, you'd have to, well, put in a protest, wouldn't you? Protest? What for? Bum crack! Acres of it, all the way up the straight. The stewards would call for the photo, not because they can't split the winners. They just can't wait to find out who the clown was mooning the camera. You'd be pissed off, I reckon. You'd be pissed off, especially if you owned the horse he was riding at the time. You'd have to have a go at him, wouldn't you? You'd be looking at him going, good on you, mate. Have a look at you. I may as well have hired a dwarf. What are you going to be doing after the races? Off to film another episode of Fantasy Island?
Ever thought of going to a clairvoyant for the answers to life's big questions? Yes, we hear you think. Then get along and experience the mystic charm of Psychic Mick. He's seen the future and he's not afraid to give it to you.
You are wearing a red dress.
Yeah, well, you can see that.
Hush, child. Psychic Mick is concentrating. Yes, it was a present.
No.
From somebody else.
No.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be seen dead in it.
Excuse me?
Because it makes you look like a bit of a tart. No, wait. A hooker walking the streets. Oh, hang on. I'm getting something now. Yes, I can see you punching me in the... Oh, spooky, isn't it?
Your life will be completely changed once you've dropped by to cop a mouthful of psychic abuse from a mysterious prick called Mick.
I can tell nobody likes you very much. You're a joke at the office and all the boys used to stare you at school.
Is that what you're getting?
Oh, no. I haven't started the reading yet. I can tell that just by looking at you. Oh, hang on. Yes, now I'm getting it. I can see a woman. Your wife?
Yes.
Oh, no, hang on. No, it's Fatty Vorton in a dress. No, it's your wife. Oh, so hard to tell. Hang on. Yes, I can see it now. Another punch to the...
For a substantial fee paid in advance, Psychic Mick has the uncanny ability to predict what the future holds.
Oh no, yes, it's bad news.
What?
You are going to be ripped off.
By who?
By a man, yes, a tall, dark stranger. He's very cute, hung like a donkey, goes by the name of Psychic Mick, yes, You're going to give him all your money so he can pay his parking fines.
No, I'm not.
Please.
No.
I can't.
You don't need spiritual powers to take one look at this clown and know he's on the shonk.
You are very wealthy.
Yes.
You live in a big house.
Yes.
I see you letting me crash there for a few weeks, at least till the trouble I'm in blows over. Yes, I can see you introducing me to your wife's friends. Hang on, hang on. You have a beautiful daughter.
No.
Damn.
Goodbye.
Wait, no, wait. It's coming to me now. I see you reporting me to the fraud squad.
So pay Psychic Mick a visit now, because we're predicting he's not going to be around for too long.
Before I pass sentence, Mr. Malloy, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes, I see you taking a bribe.
Wrong.
Oh, in that case, I see myself in deep...
Come to me on Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I should just let you know it's going to be another one of our musical kind of challenges where you're going to have to grab an instrument, whatever you've got, people, violins, if you've got some of those old drums, remember the sort of hexagonal style pseudo-echo drums? If you've got some of those, we'd be happy to hear a bit of that.
Gee, you'd be game, owning up to that.
Whatever you got, as long as it's a musical instrument, you can take part.
Absolutely.
And no skill really required. It's going to be a pretty simple one today.
That would preclude you.
Exactly. Now, also, in the next hour, Steve Bedwell's going to be in.
Goody.
And do you think, because our guest yesterday was Elizabeth Berkeley from Showgirls, and she did a bit of lap dancing, of course, to the Birdie song, so it wasn't quite the same.
No.
But do you think Steve's going to favour us with a lap dance?
Well, we can ask.
Was that the first guest we've ever done who's, you know, ever had done a lap dance
it's
on the show?
First guest.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete Smith every second day. But
Glenn A. Baker gave us one, didn't he? I think
very early on in the piece.
Well, enough of this chit-chat, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get the monkey suits on us. We award this week's Fumio a much-coveted gong. We hand over to the person or persons who have, through their public endeavours, supplied us with the most material over the last week. The Fumio, just as prestigious, but much easier to obtain than one of those highfalutin Nobel Prizes. No need to spend years hunched over a microscope or locked in a peace summit trying to placate a couple of toey Middle Eastern hotheads for this. No, this accolade can be yours simply by blopping out the tackle in your latest video clip, choreographing a ludicrously misconceived halftime entertainment at a national sporting event, or just by jetting over to Papua New Guinea to have the locals crown you with a hat made of beaks. It's just that easy. As this week's nominees ably demonstrate, Mick, who's in contention?
Bob and Blanche, who are so keen to make cash every time someone takes their photo, they send the government a bill for $100,000 whenever they run a red light camera.
That's Sydney cult leader off 60 Minutes, whose lawyers insist his bloated, drug-buggered appearance is merely, quote, the outer symptom of a deep meditative state. Gee, I guess that means River Phoenix died from excessive meditation.
Macaulay Culkin, who's tubbing up so quickly thanks to his fierce love of the brewskis that his only chance of further work in the film industry will come if he gets the call from David Lynch to don the red suit and start talking backwards.
John Howard and Paul Keating, who, as the phony election campaign moves into top gear, continue to bandy the phrase Aussie battler around as though they were talking about someone from another planet. Howard is currently trying to identify the battler from a series of identical pictures prepared by his staff, while Keating says he has nothing but the utmost admiration and respect for the battler, and if he wants to call the economy a disgrace, that's his business.
Nicely done.
But Mick, the Fumio goes to
Pope John Paul II. Yes, who's been catching public transport ever since the Pope-mobile was wheel-clamped out the front of a girly bar. He's got it back, though, and he's on the line now. Pope John Paul, are you there?
Thank you, Mick, and the other guy. And to celebrate my reunion with my much-beloved Pope-mobile, I will now attempt to break my own record by jumping 27 double-decker buses. side machine. Close. I may be infallible, but man, I think I just busted my ass. Mother of God! Women and pontiffs first!
This is Martin Malloy,
SAFM.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the commercials we've got time for, so... Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today's challenge, one of the regulars, get out your musical instruments because we want you to play a little tune. Now, today we thought, because in the past, the tunes we've asked people to do have been things like popcorn.
Mm.
They've been things like the Birdie Dance.
Yeah.
And Manamana. Things that are really, I suppose you'd call them novelty tunes, that kind of stuff.
Leaning towards the daggy.
Yeah. So today, we thought we'd go back to the classics, and we've gone back to a piece of music. It's a bit of classical music. Mm. It's really before our time. It goes a bit like this. Who is that exactly? Is that Beethoven, Mickey? Is that
a bit of Mozart?
I don't know. I think they're using that, though, for the Channel 9 news theme now, aren't they?
That's how it comes on. Here's your host, Brian.
And one of the Brians or whoever is doing the news in whatever town just picks up the axe.
Yeah. And at the end of the news, takes his guitar and starts smashing it
across the weatherman.
Across the weatherman's head.
Okay. I like to see that. But what we want today is we want people to call us up on the phone.
Mm.
You can hold the phone up to your instrument. You can get someone else to help you out and just play a bit of that tune, which is, of course, Smoke on the Water, the Deep Purple classic. And we want it on preferably anything but a guitar. We want recorders. Mm. We want pianos. We want... you got a tuba? Got a tuba in the closet, people. Get it out.
Get out your maracas. Get a didgeridoo. We haven't had a didgeridoo yet. Give us a didgeridoo.
But okay.
Nothing homemade and nothing from your person.
That's right, because there's been a bit of controversy on the segment as to whether the human body qualifies as an instrument.
Mm.
Now, in some people's hands, it does. Like Lucky Grills, there's a maestro of the human body.
In his case, it's like a Steinway. His body is like a Steinway.
But we've had too many people whose bodies are Casio tones on the segment.
Absolutely.
And so, no more.
No.
And what about the prize? It's a Sonny Ghetto Blaster, and it's being thrown at you by the people at 4 and 20 Pies.
Ooh.
And we must just stop and reflect on the 4 and 20, as we always do, because it's Friday the 13th. Mm. Mick, are there any superstitions concerning the 4 and 20?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. On this day, be very careful. Try not to walk under a 4 and 20 pie. Do you know what I mean? You can bite into it, and it's a tasty treat, but try not to walk under one.
And what if you did? How would you remedy that? Would you have to throw a 4 and 20 over your shoulder?
over your shoulder and do a little jig.
Yeah.
And that would... Do you know, this is true. I found this out in research the other day.
Yeah.
Back in, I think it was the 16th or 17th century, the preferred way of warding off vampires, stroke your werewolf kind of character, was to wear a 4 and 20 round your neck, and that would ward off evil spirits. They'd take one look at that tasty beef treat and just hightail it.
But surely the temptation would be to just scoff it down.
Well, that's it. That will also frighten a potential predator. Because, face it, they're probably after the 4 and 20 pie anyway, because that's what they want. They see it around your neck and go, ho-ho, give me that. So then you go, aha, mon frere, think again, and you chomp into that sucker.
So you're thus warding off evil spirits.
You're warding off evil spirits.
And enjoying a tasty treat at the same time.
See? Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Okay.
Are we done?
Do the 4 and 20 people listen to the show? That's what I want
to know.
They're
too busy. Okay. They've got heads down.
Yeah.
Ass up, head down, head into a big pie.
Well, hopefully some of them have got musical instruments and are about to call us now on 1-800-657-657.
Normal programming. Martin Malloy.
We want to hear you people at home playing this number.
Yes, it's one of the classics. Mickey, introduce our musicians. Well, Jessica's going to lead us off today. How are you, Jessica?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Now, what have you chosen?
I've chosen the flute.
The flute?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, rather incongruous to me, but give it a go.
Okay, honey, just put the phone down.
That's very nice. Okay, Jessica, that's fantastic. Oh, no, she's going to see it out. She's going to keep going until she's the new Jane Rutter.
Is it okay?
That's very good. We score you highly. We'll have Bernard's comments shortly. Thanks, Jessica. Now let's see what Graham's got. Graham, what are you playing?
I'm playing the drums.
Oh, are you?
Yep.
Oh, let's hear that.
Just put the phone down just a second.
It's a very important part of the segment. Putting the phone down. There we go. He's going into another room.
Hello? Hello, Graham? Graham, it's... Graham? Are you there?
I'm back.
Yeah, that was good, Graham. What we wanted was Smoke on the Water, not an impression of Daryl Summers, I'm afraid, but that's still pretty good. Let's go on to Heidi. Heidi, what have you got to offer?
Really bad harmonica playing.
Oh, okay, I can't get enough of that. Let's hear that.
Okay, you ready? Okay, I don't have to put the phone down for this.
Oh, good. Could you? Could you put the phone down?
Or maybe put the harmonica down.
Okay. give us a bit more.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like a violet crumble all of a sudden.
That's Heidi from Heidi and the Blowfish. Thanks, Heidi. Okay, what's Bill playing? Bill?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I got a didgeridoo.
Hurrah! Hurrah! Okay, we asked for a didgeridoo, and you've obliged. Let's hear a bit of Smoke on the Water as...
Okay, I've got to put the phone down.
There you go.
We'll edit all that bit.
He's got to put the phone down to make a farty noise with his mouth. I don't understand. I just hope people aren't tuning in and thinking it's International Lunchbox half an hour early. Are you there, Bill? That's not bad.
Yeah, go and have a lie down.
That's good. Let's move on to Bob. Bob, what are you playing?
What am I playing? I've turned my back on the grand piano, matey.
Yeah.
And I'm playing a comb made in Taiwan, a comb, a hair comb, wrapped or embalmed in a piece of tissue paper.
Oh, yes, one of the traditional favourites.
Exactly, mate. I'll be face down in a wok of all things.
Do you think you can, for acoustics, do you think you can do Smoke on the Water?
I'll give any a go at any time.
Okay, let's hear it.
You're going to have to put the phone down?
Here we go. How am I going, buddy?
It's not very well, Bob.
Oh, I thought it was a knockout.
It's definitely Smoke on the Water, but it didn't sound like a musical instrument. It sounded like this. It sounded like someone...
That's how it's played, mate.
Oh, okay.
But before you go any further, do I get any bonus points for playing in a wok?
Well, it's definitely a first, but I don't know if it's something to be admired on national radio.
Okay,
thanks, Bob. Finally, Thomas, what are you going to play for us?
Well, me and a few of the boys were sitting around last night drinking a few beers, and there's a few empties lying around, so I thought I'd give it a go in a few empty beer bottles.
Oh, so you formed them into a musical instrument.
Well, I've lined them all up. I hope I've got them around the right way. I chucked all the light beer out, because that was no good.
Yeah,
mm.
Oh, no.
So I'll have to put the phone down. Hang on.
Okay. Mm.
And I'll bet you that sounds better the more you drink. Hey?
Is that right?
It probably sounds beaut to you.
It did seem to be a bit of Smoke on the Water. Is that how
you know, I like it. Yeah. I really like it because it shows initiative and foresight. And he combined drinking with music.
Yeah.
And it's a combination that can't be beat.
It's our winner today.
Selmus has turned a bit of a boozy night out into a triumph on national radio. And Thomas, we're going to enter you in the Eurovision Song Contest. All right?
Oh,
you're
excellent.
Going for your country. Hey, Thomas, what brand do you play?
VB, mate. Only one beer.
Oh, good on you.
I'm okay. A Melbourne boy.
All right, then. Of course you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't have enough time to sit around thinking that up.
Yeah, you need it when you're playing Smoke on the Water.
The old VB, you've got the Sonny Ghetto Blaster.
Unreal. Thank you very much.
And I reckon that's a course for a bit of a celebration. And maybe you could put in a few hard yards tonight and you'll have a full Philharmonic Orchestra ready to go this time tomorrow. Can you take us out?
Unbelievable.
Can you take us out, Thomas? Can you take us out with a bit
Hang
more?
Hang on, I have to put the phone down again.
Okay. Okay, you take us out, Dom. And as we enjoy the very fine strains of the Thomas Ensemble, we'll just remind you to stick around in the next hour, people, when we'll be
joined
by Steve Bedwell. Call an ambulance! It's Victoria! Don't do that!
This is Martin Molloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net.
Second hour of Martin Molloy, and time to welcome someone. We haven't seen him for a while.
No.
But he's part of the Martin Molloy family.
Where the hell has he been?
He's Adelaide's Mr. Breakfast. It's Steve Bedwell.
Well, a very good afternoon, Tony. Nick, yeah. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be back.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's been going on?
Yeah. I've been away. Can't say too much. Just been away.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Special projects?
Well, no, I got Johnny Young's ozone treatment thing in the Philippines very cheap, snapped it up, and I'm running a thriving business.
Good on you.
Beautiful.
Now, since we saw you last, there's been something, what's it called again, the O.J. Simpson trial?
Have you heard about this, Steve?
Apparently.
Let me tell you, it was a footballer in America. Oh, you know. You're up to speed.
I've got the vague hint of what's happened. And I was one of the fools who got up at 2:30 in the morning to see him swing and just watch him walk in here, you know. And
you got a touch of the Scaseys, didn't you? You go, oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, just stand still a minute. He, what I found amusing about the whole thing is it ended exactly the same way it started. Him in a white van with a helicopter chasing him. Yeah. Only this time I noticed the van had bumper stickers on it. Now, I'm not saying he's guilty, but you don't have a bumper sticker on the back of your van that says, my other car contains damning evidence. Or, you know, if you can read this, you obviously weren't on the jury. You don't have that sort of thing. But to me, it tipped it. When the judge said, you're not guilty, and he's gone, hurrah, and then turned to the prosecution solicitor, Marcia Clark, and said, not guilty, can I have my hat and gloves back now? To me, that was the giveaway.
And he's pretty keen to get his hands on Exhibit B, too, I think. Because it's part of a set.
Well, Franklin Mint are bringing out the complete O.J. Simpson evidence set, which month by month builds into the most damning prosecution case ever seen. And then, of course, it accounts for nothing. But Dr. Seuss is on it.
Is he?
Dr. Seuss has caught in on the whole, you know, the whole O.J., I did not kill my wife, I would not kill my wife thing. He's released a book called Juice on the Loose. I'll just give you a bit of a read of it. Did you do this awful crime? Did you do it any time? I did not do this awful crime. I would not, could not, any time. Did you take this person's life? Did you do it with a knife? I did not do it with a knife. I did not, could not kill my wife. I did not do this awful crime. I would not, could not, any time. Did you leave a pool of blood? Did you drop this bloodied glove? I did not leave a pool of glove. I did not even fit that glove. I did not do it with a knife. I did not, could not kill my wife. I did not do this awful crime. I would not, could not, any time.
Oh, that's a beautiful bit of poetry.
How's that? Look at that, eh?
Very nice.
You are the laureate of your generation.
How's that? Steve?
One of the kids. One for the kids. You know, if the kids listening,
there it is.
Snap it up. There, OJ. How much OJ news has there been? I think in the last 4 weeks, he's been up for a fumio. and we had to this week say, no, enough, and who got it?
I think it was John Paul II,
the Pope,
actually.
Yeah. The P-Man.
Snapped up our big award. Have you got any Pope talk, Steve?
Well, I'm just amazed at the whole depth of his whirlwind tour of America. It's just been a magnificent thing. And I hear the tip that he was actually over there to open the first of the Planet Vatican theme restaurants, which he co-owns with the Archbishop of Canterbury, Mother Teresa, and the Dalai Lama. And you get stuff up on there on the wall, you know, like the Shroud of Turin.
Oh, yeah.
The menu's not much,
no.
But just beautiful decor in there. And because his big show in Central Park was absolutely magnificent.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, he had his hat on backwards because he was in New York, but nobody could come. And I'm not sure everybody was there had exactly the same idea going as he did, because I heard people in the mass yelling out for him to do the Sounds of Silence and Mrs. Robinson. Now, I think they'd been hanging around the park a bit too long.
And I heard there was some talk that he was spotted driving the Popemobile slow speed style up a LA freeway with a gun to his head. Have I got something wrong there?
And people were on the side of the road holding placards, "Go Pope, go."
Well, I tell you, the most disturbing thing to me since I've been in here is the ABC and their just blanket axing of current affairs programs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know you're both blokes. Nationally, everybody are big fans of their local 7:30 report, but now, gone.
Yeah.
Just gone. Bottom line, gone. Investigators, gone. And why? Because apparently they don't meet ABC standards. Now, that's an elusive beast, isn't it? ABC standards. They don't. What are they supposed to do? How do you meet ABC standards? Perhaps if the 7:30 report was hosted by a couple of oversized bits of fruit in sleeping apparel and the investigators, you know, probed a few shonky fridge mechanics by looking through the round window, then they might reach ABC standards.
Oh, sensible talk, Steve. Mm. Now, hey, I hope you're not all finished. We haven't, you know, exhausted you yet.
Oh, Mr. Martin, Mr. Malloy, the delivery's only half over. The truck's only tipped up, only half the sand's out.
Because we want to get some more talk out of you, and then, of course, we're hoping for a lap dance. So
stick around, Steve Bedwell. We'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy.
And with us today, it's Steve Bedwell. And Steve, I know you've always got your head down in the papers. I believe you've got some medical news for us, something the listeners should know about.
Well, you know, I like to keep my eye out for the medical news. And yeah, you can go for ages and not have any. Then bang, two sets born within a week of each other. Now, of course, I'm talking about Siamese twins.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know being a Siamese twin looks like a lot of fun. But believe me, it's not all tailored clothes and a job in the circus. There's a lot more to it than that, you know. There's the fight over whose picture goes on the driver's license.
Oh, yeah.
You know, never being allowed to play singles tennis. All of these problems. You know, even worse than that is having to hold the newspaper for the other one while they're on the toilet. That's the worst. But it was good news for the little British Siamese kiddies, because they were born joined at the stomach and the doctors were able to successfully separate them.
Yeah.
But the other set joined at the Bonds in Honduras, where the best advice the doctors could give the parents was to grab one each and make a wish. I don't think that was a real successful job.
Yeah, but everyone got a little paper crown and a plastic whistle and a riddle, so that was fantastic.
Okay, it's pile in on the Siamese kiddies time. Are we all done?
Well, we're
all silent.
We've got to do it before Channel 9 make it into a special.
Anything to cheer us up, Steve-O? You got anything from, say, Adelaide way?
Well, I've got to tell you, the big news, of course, to hit Adelaide in a long time, which, of course, is the home of the now legendary Super Pigs, was the news that the British Research Company, with nothing better to do with their government grant, has made the breakthrough in transplanting a pig's heart into a human. Now, they've been doing it for years in Adelaide. You know, I can't think of anything worse than having a pig's heart running around inside you. I mean, imagine going through life knowing that your doctor probably wore a stripy apron. It's not a real good thing. And, you know, your kids just watching the telly, you'd be watching the telly, and the kids would just run up and stab you every time they'd get some pork on your fork out came on. And there's that uncontrollable urge to go to the mud wrestling every Friday night.
Yeah,
that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
And frankly, I just don't know how I'd cope with that embarrassing lump in my pants every time I watch the Muppet Show. It's just a bit too much.
Well, I mean, I've had, you know, I've experienced that before without a pig's heart. So
you get that just when we play the Manumma Nut music, Tone. As late as last week, mon frere.
Oh, yes. But, and when the Rainbow Connection comes, I'll look out because you can think of both performances of that.
There's now, your pole dancing music right there.
Now, they've done a survey in South Australia of 100 parents and kids, and found out that more than half of all adults worry they're going to emotionally damage their kids by smacking them on the bottom. Still reckon it's good. The emotional damage, as long as they shut up, emotional damage can come as it will. And it appears that being hit with a wooden spoon, a strap or a bamboo stick, you know, Burma Railway style, is more memorable than an open hand. And I've got to agree with that because I was a kid. You're probably the same. Mum would just hit me with whatever was there. If I'd done wrong, it was the thong. You know, the hose was a personal favourite of hers. But she really went with the aluminium tube off the vacuum cleaner. You got that from your mum, you know. And if I played up and the dog was playing up at the same time, she'd just belt me with the dog. She'd just pick it up by the back legs and start whipping me with it.
Two birds with one stone.
Yes.
My mum would hit me with the Daihatsu.
Yes, but your life's been a total charade, Nick Malloy.
Correct, but it's very soft, the charade. That's the thing about it.
Now, the other thing that I love, too, is there's an appeal going on in Adelaide at the moment, and it's a worthwhile appeal to raise $2 million for the purchase of new artworks for the Art Gallery of South Australia between now and the year 2000. I might be wrong here, but the lazy $2 million doesn't buy you a lot of quality artwork anymore.
No.
But you can't pick up anything for $2 million. I mean, all you're going to get for that sort of day is maybe a print of some dogs playing pool, painting of Elvis with a clock in his guts, a Candone brunch coat, and one of those charcoal portraits done on a shopping mall by an Asian student.
Or maybe a couple of photos of Bob and Blanche. I think that's still the going price. Okay, Steve, thanks for coming in and unloading today.
My pleasure.
Good on you, Steve.
And I believe for people who enjoy Steve's work, and live in Melbourne, there's an extra treat. What are you up to?
Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock, commencing on this Sunday, the Steve Bedwell Experience with myself, and there'll be Matt Parkinson, of course, from Empty Pockets, and Lisa Shaw, who listeners to Fox FM in Melbourne will know as the newsreader from the German breakfast show, Danger Lowenbrow.
And what have you got? What are you sitting on for the first show? Goal?
Oh, sitting on gold. It's alchemy. We started out with something very ordinary but turned it into gold.
You've written nothing, haven't you?
Well, yeah.
You've used all your material for Sunday right here.
No lap dance for you, Tony Martin.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Steve, and we'll see you again on Martin Malloy.
SAFM.
Oh, yes. Can't do anything without the music on this show. And we must thank our guests, Steve Bedwell, Nan, Mava, Michelle and Sam down there at the Masterpiece Mirrors, and all our musical gladiators. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Gracie.
Our assistant, Emma.
On you, Em.
All the network button pushers.
On you, pushers.
The woman who does the voices we can't, Kath Garrett.
On you, Garrity.
And the legend in the glass booth that is Pete Smith.
The Smithmeister.
Now, next week, our guests include Frontline's Tyrell Mora, and, of course, Magda Szubanski's going to be dropping by to talk, well, to talk talking pigs. That's what she's got to talk about, so can't wait for that. And we'll leave you people with what happened earlier on the show when we presented Pope John Paul II with the prestigious Martin Malloy Fumio.
Thank you, Mick, and the other guy. And to celebrate my reunion with my much-beloved Popmobile, I will now attempt to break my own record by jumping 27 double-decker buses. Hold on to your heads. I have a fuel-injected suicide machine. Was close. I may be infallible, but man, I think I just busted my ass. Mother of God! Women and pontiffs first!
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.